Start praying now. I hope you're already praying and seeking God to find out what is your part here. Because there is more to come. You know, where we thought, okay, well, I've gone as long as I can go. I've gone as far as I can go, you know. And I'll be honest with you, this whole, well, last year and into this year, because I knew what my next birthday was going to be this year. It's a big one there. You know, I kind of got into this attitude, thank you. I got into this attitude of, well, here I am. I'm this old, so let's just ride it out. You know, let's just ride it out, Lord. I kind of like this, you know, just riding it out. And he began to do stuff in my life that forced me. I'm saying he forced because he knew my heart was always willing, but the rest of me wasn't. The rest of me was like, no, we're this age. Come on, just let me be a nana. You know, the kids are moving back. We get to have our grandbaby with us. You know, just let me be a nana and just go to ladies' meetings and just ride our time out. Wow, did I ever get in trouble for that attitude? And I have news for you. You all will too. We're not here just to ride the time out. We are here because there's more of God. And we have not received all. We have not even touched anywhere close to all that God has for us to do in our lives and through our lives. So I'm telling you, better gear up because Miss Christy number two was correct. There is about to be an explosion on this mountain. And you better hang on, get your running shoes on, and get ready to go with what God is doing around here. So this morning, I want to talk about the persistency of more. I'm like, yeah, the Lord gave me that title and before he gave me the word. And for a couple of days, I was like, the persistency of more? Wow, Lord, that's a really strange title there. But I began to think about being persistent. And you know, let me give you a proper definition of persistence. It's the quality that allows someone to continue doing something or trying to do something, even though it's difficult or opposed by other people. It's a quality that allows someone to continue doing something or trying to do something, even though it is difficult or opposed by other people. Can you think of someone that to you is persistent? They just won't let up. They just keep going and going and, you know, and pushing and pushing and you know, that's persistence. And you know, now we think of it in a negative way. We think of those people who just keep pushing our buttons, just keep pushing. They're persistent and they push our buttons. Well, if they're pushing a button, just change buttons. You know? But persistence is just, it's somebody who just keeps on keeping on. There's no thought in their minds of, well, I give up. They just don't give up. You know, have you ever had children who really wanted something? Can I have? You know, do you remember those days? Can I, please. Can I? You know? Persistence. But the persistency of more. Well, what is it we want more of? I want more of the Lord. Because if I get that, everything else falls in place. I want more of the Lord. And more just means a greater or additional amount or degree. I'm not satisfied anymore. I thought it was, but I'm not satisfied anymore with what the amount of the Lord I have. I want more. I want more and more and more. I want to begin to be that persistent child of his. It's constantly more, 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 more. Or as our little Addie does sign language, more, 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 more. It's amazing. They teach babies sign language. Wow. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. And we're just going to quickly go through this. And everybody said yes, and we know you better than that. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased or stopped or came to a slowed down place in his praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So the disciples had seen that John had taught his disciples how to pray. So that must have meant their prayers were effective. But now they're asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, not just John. So they realize if John's disciples can get these kind of results, then let's persist and find out how we can get greater results by asking Jesus how to pray. Verse 2, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And we're back on bread again. I've got this thing about bread lately. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Going on in verse 5. After he tells them, this is how you can begin to pray. He gives them an illustration. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Wow, I just had one last week, didn't I? Now this week we have 3. I have a feeling that the Lord is, woo, thank you, Jesus. I don't have a feeling anymore. He just told me, thank you, Lord. You know, last week we talked about 1 loaf. We use the illustration using 1 loaf, even though we were talking about 7 loaves. This time it says, give us this day our daily bread. And then the illustration that Jesus used, he said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. So what are people asking of us? Do they just want the 1 loaf, which is all we have, seems like? Or do they want the 3 loaves, which would be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit within us, in the risen power of God? What are people asking of us? That was free. That was, thank you, Lord, I like that. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Well, one of the things you'll see when this man goes to another friend, because the first man had a friend come to his house, he said, I have nothing to set before him. Well, I want to tell you, when we come before God, because we're talking about finding more of God. And Jesus started it by saying, pray. Pray. Now, we've talked in the past about the definition of prayer or praying, and it means to communicate with God in worship or worshipful communication with God. So we know how the right spirit we're to be in when we are praying, and that's in an awe, a reverence, a worshipful time communicating with God. But this man says, I have nothing to set before my friend. But when we go before God and we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name, Lord. Holy are you, Lord. You know, God doesn't look down and go, you came at a bad time. I'm kind of short-handed right now on supplies. So you're going to need to go away and come back another time. God is never empty-handed. His hand is always outstretched to us to provide for us. He's never, ever caught off guard by our needs. Don't we act like he is a lot of times? Because we go to him in prayer and we're like, okay, I need to give him some reverence here. Okay, thank you, Lord, that you're in control of everything. And Lord God, are you aware that I need money to pay the mortgage? He's never caught off guard by what we need. He knows our needs. In fact, he gave us the word that says he will meet, supply all of our needs. So God's never caught off guard. We're the ones that get caught off guard. Verse 7, and from within, the man inside, shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. Now, so the first friend goes to the second friend because the first friend has a friend who's coming to his house or has come to his house. And the second friend says, hey, will you stop pestering me? Will you stop? I'm already in bed with the children. Now, I don't know if you ever experienced this. I figure probably if you're a parent, you have. It's those times that those kids will not go to sleep. They just will not go to sleep. And so you let them lay down with you. And finally, they start drifting off. You know, and they're just about gone, so you don't breathe. You don't move. You know. And then finally, you hear a little snoring, a little deep breathing. And you know, okay, they're good. And then you try your best to slide off the bed without waking them up. So many times that has happened. So many times. But, you know, so he's saying, listen, I got the kids in the bed with me. They're already sleeping. Please don't bother me. Go away for now. The Lord, fortunately, does not make excuses when we go to him. He doesn't say, nope, nap time. Sorry, come back later. No, he always hears us. In verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So he's asking for 3 loaves, and all of a sudden, friend number 2 says, you know, I'm not going to get up just because you're my friend, but because of your importunity. And importunity there means persistence. Persistence. He said he will rise and give him all the bread. Hey, look, take it. Just take it. Take as many as you need. Go. Because he's persistent. Now, we do not have to go begging to God. We don't have to be like the friend here who eventually stands there. Hey. I'm in need of bread. I got some folks at my house. Hey, we don't have to do that with God now because it says he hears us when we pray. Now, I'm going to show you who we do have to make the noise against. Looking on in verse 9, and I say unto you, and this is Jesus talking again, ask and it shall be given you. In John 14:13, it says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God wants to answer our prayers so that Jesus is glorified, which glorifies the Father. He wants to answer our prayers. He doesn't want us going around with, well, I prayed and it didn't happen, so I guess God was just being... No. God hears our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. But, you know, sometimes it says that we pray amiss. I always say, I prayed and missed, you know, is what I used to say about that verse. Because we're asking of our own selves. God, I'd really, really like a new wardrobe. You know, I couldn't find anything to wear this morning. That's a bunch of baloney. That is self-talking. But when we are praying in that worshipful communication with him, we find that we pray of ourselves less. because you can't help when once you're in the presence of the Lord, you can't help but hear his will. Thank you, Jesus. He goes on in verse 9 to say, seek and ye shall find. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. It takes our heart. Our hearts are his. It takes our hearts to go seeking for him. Because when we do that, it says, we will find him. I'm like, wow, we're going to find the Lord. Wow. And then at the last portion of verse 9 there says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10, for everyone that asks, receiveth, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Now, remember I said, we don't go to the Lord. God, you're not listening. God, I need this. God, help me. God, 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 God. No, because he said, ask and it's going to be given. Seek and you're going to find. Knock and it's going to open. So who are we making all that noise for? This is what we're making the noise for. Devil, do you hear me knocking and you see God opening these doors? Hey, if we're making some noise that disturbs the devil, he's defeated. He is defeated. And we need to be making some noise. Hey, devil, did you see what God did for me? Did you see that God healed this person from, you know, for, oh, wow, look, cancer's gone. Did you see? I'm making noise, devil, because you're not shutting us up. We are prayerfully worshiping, communicating with our Lord and our God. Yes. That's who we make all that noise toward. We don't have to do it for God. Just one, hey, come on in. That's the Lord. But sometimes we need to put a knot on that knot head by knocking on the devil, letting him know, hey, we're making some noise here because we are persistent that we are going to have more of God. Yes. Verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? No. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Mm-mm. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Hey, listen, even when we weren't living for the Lord, we knew to do good by our children. We knew to give them good things and not bad. You know, but how much more now when we say, Lord, we need more. We need more of your presence. We need more of your Holy Spirit activated, functioning in our lives. How much more will our Heavenly Father give? Woo, Jesus. I want to just quickly read you the same passage in the Message translation. I like the way this brings it out. Again, beginning in verse 1. One day he was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Master, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. So he said, when you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. I want more, Lord. Reveal who you are. I want more. Reveal more, Lord. Set the world right. Lord, I know if I want more of you, my world will start lining up according to your will. I want more, Lord. I want more. He said, keep us alive with 3 square meals. Now, I would say I want more, but that's going to make it sound like I want more than 3 square meals. So let's look at it like this. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. I want more, Lord, than 3 square meals. I want your spiritual food. I want the bread of life that you have provided for us. I want more, Lord, than just food and bread. Because the word tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I want more, Lord, more, more. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Who? I want more, Lord. I want more, Lord. Forgiveness is a big hindrance to obtaining more of God, because we won't be able to get out of our minds how we feel like we have been not been forgiven, or how we feel that we are holding unforgiveness for others. I want more, Lord, so that I walk in forgiveness completely to myself and to others. I want more, Lord, of your forgiving power. And then it's prayed, he told him to pray, keep us safe from ourselves. That's a big one right there. That's a big job, I tell you. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. Wow. I want more, Lord. I want more of you and less of me. Because if there's more of you and less of me, I'm a little safer. I'm safer. Because me can cause some real problems sometimes. I want more, Lord. I want more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And then he goes on in verse 9 in the Message translation. It says, ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. In verse 10 through 13, it says, don't bargain with God. Well, God, I'll do this if you'll just do this. God, I'll never do that again if you'll just do this. Lord, I won't do that again if you promise nobody finds out. God, please, you know, let's not bargain with God. It says, be direct. Be honest. God, I goofed. But I want more of you to help me replace my mistakes and my weaknesses. I want more of you. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? Oh, Lord, I hope not. If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? Don't you think the Father who conceived us in love? Well, that makes it sound like he gave birth to us. Well, sort of did, you know, a long, long, long time ago. God created the heavens and the earth. God created man. Where do you think our roots go back to? From the very beginning of time. And the word tells us that I knew you before you were ever formed in the womb, before you ever had flesh, before you ever had bones, before you ever had breath. God knew you all the way back there. He conceived us in love, because he is love. And just to show you an example of that, Matthew 1, 19 through 20, this is Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, her husband. So then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her, Mary, a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Joseph and Mary were espoused to be married. He finds out she's already expecting a child. He knows it's not his, but he believes her when she tells him what has happened. So Joseph, thinking he's protecting her, might need to kind of put her away until the baby is here and they can decide how we're going to deal with this. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So how did we manage to get here? The Lord said he knew us before we were ever formed in the womb. The word in the Message translation says that he conceived us in love. And then we read, Jesus was conceived in Mary of the Holy Ghost. Ta-da! Entryway for us. Through the Holy Spirit, through the God, our Father's love, because he is love, we are his. And that's why we can go to him and cry out, I want more. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you. Do you know, there are those people that we just really enjoy being around and would love to spend more time with them. Because, I mean, they just, I don't know, it's just something about them that you know, we really want to be more around them. More and more and more. Well, that's us here. Think about our Father God. Think about Jesus. Think about the Holy Spirit. If we long that much to be with an earthly person, how much more should we be longing for our Heavenly Father, for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit who is with us every day and every moment? How much more? I want more, Lord. I want more. Persistency of more. There should not be a day go by that we are not persistent after the presence of the Lord. We're not persistent after his wisdom. We're not persistent after his love. We're not persistent after everything that he needs us to do for that day. There should not be a day go by that we are not persistent. Don't let situations, don't let circumstances, don't let what's happening around us or what might be happening or what could happen, don't let those things hinder us from being persistent in going after more of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we just give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for more. Thank you, Lord, that, Father, you do above and beyond all that we can comprehend, all that we can ask, all that we can think. So, Lord, I just ask now with my brothers and sisters for more of you. Father, I ask that you forgive me, forgive us for looking to other measures of meeting needs, for looking in directions where we might can make things work. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us. And Father, help us to turn our eyes totally to you and be persistent, Lord, seeking you. Seeking you, Father, because you said if we would seek you, we will find you. And Lord, I know that it's not that you're hiding from us, but God, sometimes we get in the way and it seems like we can't find you. So Lord, forgive us for getting in the way and help us to rise up strong, Lord. Help us to rise up strong as your vessels. Thank you, Jesus.